This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Danny Meringue.
And then I went to this movie theater. This is it. I made a noise like this.
Dusty Hera.
Then this was horrible. All the people started getting sick and throwing up all over each other.
I'm beginning to like this kid, Mike.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080.
Are you okay?
The Fan.
Hour number three here on Danny and Dusty on a Friday afternoon, live and on location at the Oregon International Auto and Motorcycle Show.
Let's go!
Going on today, tomorrow, and Sunday afternoon. You can come down here and check it out live. We are set up right next to the Pinewood Derby racetrack right here.
In front of the bar.
Right next to the bar. And some really cool stuff around us as we open the show with the one of 30 self-driving Teslas in the world is in the building. It is a weird-looking car.
Only one in America?
Yeah, it is the only one in America. Directly over my shoulder is a 57 Chevy. Looks like we got a Corvette Stingray. We've got some Porsche GT3s, one of my favorite cars of all time.
This is what I just call cool cars. A lot of cool cars.
A lot of like the top in class, the best in slot type stuff that's coming to the automotive world. It's a cool thing. Folks are starting to really kind of pile in here as the day is kicking off. You can come down and check it out all weekend long. The big deal, obviously, is if you want to bring down the kids, they do have Family Day presented by Country Financial. Sunday, February 23rd, kids 15 and under attend for free with a paid adult tickets. Also, you can save on tickets. Show visitors can receive $3 per ticket discount by donating 3 cans of non-perishable food. Thanks to the Safeway Foundation and Sunshine Division, which works to provide food assistance to the Metro Portland area. Canned food will be collected at the main entrance. So come on down and check it out and have a grand old time to figure out some cars stuff. And again, thank you for listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us on this wonderful, wonderful Friday here on Danny and Dusty. The Portland Trailblazers do indeed fall to the Los Angeles Lakers last night, 110-102. It was a abysmal basketball game for the first 14 or so minutes. The Blazers had a 15-point first quarter.
If you were a Blazer fan, it was abysmal. Fans were like, gosh, we're pretty good
about
this Luka guy.
Even the Lakers didn't look good. It was just the Blazers looked so bad. It was maybe the worst stretch of basketball I've ever seen Shaedon Sharpe play as a professional. For his first 7 minutes, he had 4 unforced turnovers.
Look, he has not been playing well.
No, he has not. And I keep seeing Blazers fans like, Chauncey Billups is ruining him. No, Shaedon Sharpe is ruining himself.
Remember, there was a albeit quick, a short burst when Chauncey moved into the bench and said, you got some soul searching to do if you're going to make it in the NBA. Because you cannot just believe that you are going to be a one-way player.
No.
Because Shaedon Sharpe is gifted athletically as he is. He is not good enough on the offensive end to be a one-way player. He has got to get it done on both ends of the floor. And it's been, to call it subpar is being very kind for Shaedon Sharpe. It's been outright bad on the defensive end of the floor.
Yeah, no, I mean, and Chauncey Billups, like, he has flat out said, you know, I don't know what version of Shaedon I'm going to get on any given night until the game's over.
Well, I think we saw that with Donovan Klingon last night, too, though. Mm-hmm. For a guy who played 31 minutes before the All-Star break, he looked like he was good. That first stretch, he looked like he was laboring after tip, right? Yeah. In, like, again, young team, Donovan Klingon, unfamiliar with what the All-Star break looks like and how that affects you, you know, after going through the gauntlet. This is the why that stretch of the season where the Blazers won 10 of 12. That's the dog days of the NBA season.
And that's where young teams usually do well because older teams can see over the horizon of the All-Star break.
And they know know what's coming, and they know how to gear
rest
down
and
then ramp back up. This Blazers team doesn't know how to do that. And that was wildly apparent last night. But also, it was one of those things where the guy who had the worst game of all of them was the wily veteran. It was Jeremy Grant.
Yeah, JG was probably his worst game I've seen him as a Trailblazer. And it wasn't just the missing the shots. It was the decision-making. It was turnovers and transition. There was one break where he ended up getting a charge. And I was like, what are you doing there, JG? Like, two had the ball going down the middle, and he just kind of dumps it off to Jeremy because Jeremy just kind of took his space away. Normally, Jeremy flares out to the three-point line, and that's your proper spacing on a, you know, a three-on-one, three-on-two transition. You get one down the middle, one down each corner. And, it, you know, he had one where earlier in the game he had a run out, and it was the other way around. Jeremy's got the ball. Two is literally throwing the finger up, like, lob, lob, lob. And Jeremy decides to kind of go for this, like, off-balance runner, and he ends up getting a wedgie, you know, smashed between the rim and the backboard. And it was like, oh, buddy. I mean, Ant couldn't find the broadside of a barn from the three-point line last night. I mean, unless your name was Denny Avdija or Tumani Kamara, you did not really have a great game last night. But, you know, we opened the show talking about the game, but I don't think we'd spend enough time, or really at all, talking about how good Denny was last night.
Denny was incredible. Denny, he did everything.
I mean, he was phenomenal. Even with that, he actually started off a little bit slow. He had a couple and-ones where he smoked the layup so badly, I wondered if something was wrong. And this is something I think kind of to monitor going forward is that Denny does have a wrist injury on his right hand, and you will see it all night long during the game because he plays so physically. And if this is soccer, it's probably something that heals because he's not going to be using his hands all night long. But as a basketball player, you're using your dominant hand regularly.
Shut him down.
And he's as physical as it gets with his game. And I think that was something that was very much on display last night. Mm-hmm. He was incredibly physical. He got downhill, got to the rim, got and ones, finished around the rim, was violently productive, finished with 28 points, five assists, four rebounds, two steals. One of them, it was a loose ball that kind of got deflected. He beat everyone to that ball, but it felt like 10 yards, and he was at the rim before anybody had a chance to figure out. It is some sort of freakish superpower that he is as fast as he is. It's not like prime LeBron James with Miami level of speed at that size, but I swear to God it's not that far off. Mm-hmm. It is creepy how he is able to just flip that switch and be so violently explosive. But all of these things that came out of last night, Denny was incredibly good, had the 16-point third quarter. Two was at one point in time, I think he got to 6 of 6 before he missed a shot, 3 of 3 from three before he finally missed a corner three. But five steals, incredibly good on both ends of the floor, and got them back into a game that, you know, gave him an opportunity down the stretch that they kind of choked away in the final 3 minutes by missing wide-open shot after wide-open shot.
I'm totally okay with.
But here's the flip side. The next four games you will face the four worst teams in the NBA. Tomorrow afternoon they will play the Charlotte Hornets before embarking on the longest road trip of the season, a 7-game road trip that will see them go to the Utah Jazz.
I just wish this road trip was flipped.
Get the tough games out of the way first?
Yeah.
Because you will go from the Utah Jazz and then you will fly across the country to play the Washington Wizards. Yeesh. Here's the thing.
By the way, on one day rest.
And that's the hard part about this trip is that this trip itself,
Utah to Washington, D.C.
a brutal flight. But here's the thing about this trip is not only is it a 7-game trip, you were going to play the four worst teams in the league all in a row. And you were going to, again, start with the Utah Jazz, who, like you said, you mentioned younger teams, you know, going into the break. They're able to snatch a game, mm-hmm. a win before, you know, going into the All-Star break. So you're going to play the Utah Jazz, then you're going to go play the Wizards, and then you're going to play the Brooklyn Nets. And you're just sitting there going, oh, sweet God. As much as people, and I am in this camp of I want to see, not necessarily pull the plug and be like signing 10-day guys bad. I don't ever want that. But I think you're looking at a world where shutting down the veterans makes a lot of sense.
Yes, tomorrow. Starting tomorrow?
Yesterday.
Honestly, it is one of the, and you could do it on a matchup by matchup basis, right? Because to be honest, all of the veterans have got lingering injuries anyways, and it would make sense to, you can massage the schedule that you're playing with the guys that you shut down in various places. For the Portland Trailblazers, especially with the Victor Wembanyama injury, and Victor Wembanyama being out for the rest of the year with a blood clot, even in the win column with them, right? Actually, no, they picked up a win last night against Phoenix. Oh, boy.
Let me tell you.
Phoenix has got some issues.
I was talking to somebody with Phoenix, associated with the Phoenix Suns last night, and we were talking about that game, and the look that he gave me was like...
not a good buddy. But
tough place to be.
You're in that striking distance. You don't want to come anywhere close to the San Antonio Spurs, because you are ninth right now. You very easily could be 10th or 11th when this is all said and done, with the best odds in the lottery. 10th or 11th. You also shut it down. There is a reasonable chance that they could get into the top six.
Six is
though
as high.
Seven is probably
six
the
is
likely
they can go.
The highest seed,
at least in my opinion. And you are going to play one of those teams that is right there in the Brooklyn Nets. The Portland Trailblazers right now are currently 23-33. Okay, they are going to play on this trip the Brooklyn Nets, who are 20-35, the Philadelphia 76ers, who are 20-35, the Charlotte Hornets, who are 14-40, and the Utah Jazz, who are 13-41. You are not catching neither Utah nor Charlotte at 13-14 wins.
But you can't peel off wins against them either. Like in it, that does not help you catching anybody else.
The interesting thing about this is it doesn't matter if you take away the 10 out of 11 or even the 5-game streak. Those teams, the Utahs and Charlottes, you weren't catching these teams.
No.
They went full egregious. I mean, we talk about the Washington Wizards being the worst team in the NBA, and they are. Boy, are they. Like, if you have not watched them play basketball, it is unbearable to watch for most of the game.
But when you have a game like that, that is where I say, play Donovan Kling in 30 minutes, regardless of how it looks. Let the young guys go out there and just run. And if you win, then you win. But what it gives you nothing to have your vets out on the floor in those times.
Number one, DeAndre Ayton is very likely done for the season.
Yep.
Number two, as it pertains to Donovan Kling, and I asked Chauncey Billups pregame about the Donovan Kling thing. How many minutes? And the question was some version of, how do you you play Donovan 31 minutes. He's only played over 30 minutes twice this season. Is there a minutes threshold you're trying to get him to, or like how are you looking at his minutes over the final 27 games? And I thought Chauncey's answer was very poignant in the sense of, he said, I don't look at his minutes. I look at him. He tells me what he can do. And not the sense of like, I can go. It's if I'm looking at you and you can't put a sentence together because you were huffing and puffing, you're going to sit down.
Right.
And that's the world. Like, I have tried to tell Blazers fans, he is not capable of playing 30 minutes night in, night out. And he may never be.
And I'm not saying that. I'm saying against Charlotte, Utah, Washington, Brooklyn, perfect opportunity to do that and just say go, because of the fact that these teams are not trying to win.
No, they're actively trying to lose in most instances.
And so at that point, you can run him out there and say, it won't be a detriment to what we're trying to do.
Yeah, no.
And at some point, Donovan Klingon is going to have to push through that wall. There will be a point. And so I'm not saying you do it every single night for the next 26 games. But
or over a 7-game road trip where he's playing every other night.
But those 4 games, yeah. Do it.
Because you have those four games, Charlotte, Utah, Washington, Brooklyn. Then you go take on, I know a lot of people say the Oklahoma City Thunder are the best team in basketball. I am probably in the minority. I think the Cleveland Cavaliers.
At the end of this trip.
Yeah, but I think the Cavs are the best team in basketball, and they will go on and take on the Cavs after the Nets game, and then they will go on a back-to-back from Cleveland to play at those 76ers, who are also very bad. And then they go, they travel, have a day off, and then they play the Boston Celtics, and then they travel, and they play a day, have a day off, and then they play the Oklahoma City Thunder. This seven-game road trip, let's go ahead and add the Hornets game. These next eight games, I know Jeff Rust, I know your answer. It's 0-8. But what when you look at these eight games, what do you want to see, and what do you want to see kind of come out of this?
I want to see a lot of the young guys in the first four of it. I really do. And then I want to see them go probably 3-5 or 2-6 mm-hmm. over the next eight games. That's what this sucks. But this is where we're at this point in the year. I know what DeAndre Ayton, who's hurt for the and probably done for the year. I know what Anthony Simons is. I know what Jeremy Grant is. I'm good.
Yeah.
And also with Denny Avdia and his wrist injury, like, look, if it's going to be something that gets worse, don't play him.
I don't think it's that situation. I think it's just going to be one of those things that lingers. It probably just needs just rest after the season.
Just give him time now.
I do think you want him to play with guys and get more familiar with those units and then kind of be a part of it because there are two players right now on this roster that I will unequivocally say that are going to be a part of the next good Blazers team. Denny Avdia, Tumani Kamara. I hope Scoot Henderson. I hope Shaedon Sharpe. I hope Donovan Clingan. When you're talking about the guys that are 25 and under, I hope those guys are all part of it. But there's two guys for certain that I know.
Mm-hmm.
It's Tumani Kamara and Denny Avdia.
How many times do I want to see the Blazers lose in the next eight games?
Nine times.
There you go.
Nine times.
Retroactive forfeit? We're going to have to go back a ways. They've lost four in a row.
We can find a contest in there.
I think we should do it.
You know, it wouldn't be the first time a loss or a win has been contested. Maybe the first time a win has been contested.
Yeah, contest your own win.
No.
I don't think we made that. That was actually a two.
Yeah,
see, the second quarter.
Toe was a line here.
We should have never even gotten to overtime.
No, definitely shouldn't have got there. But it's also the season is coming to a close very quickly. There are now only 26 games remaining. You get done with these eight games, Dusty, you will be at under 20 games remaining in the season.
Can't wait.
Isn't that crazy, though? How fast it gets on you. You're like, after the All-Star break, man, it is a sprint to the finish.
And I say can't wait because it's not that I want Blazers basketball to be over, but we have reached that point of the season during a rebuild where it's like, this is what we are talking about. An eight-game road trip, how many losses? What do you want to see?
Yeah.
And that is where it's like, this is where it becomes the monotonous time.
There are less than 45 days left in the Blazers season.
All right. That's gone by pretty quickly.
That's kind of crazy to think about, like just how much that's there. Sorry. So that's your Blazers wrap-up coming out of the Lakers game last night and going into this weekend. Coming up next, the NFL can stay silent no longer. The Justin Tucker allegations are piling up, and the NFL is going to get off their keister and take a look at it. We'll dive into the next here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself
have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I can't believe it myself. Well, the NFL is being forced to pay attention to the allegations against Justin Tucker as they are quickly piling up. What started out as only a handful of allegations is looking very, very, very similar to Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, only a handful of them. Only right out of the gate. He only had like eight out of the gate.
Yeah,
you know?
Let me get up to Deshaun. Was it 24 or 25?
No, I think it was 28 or 29, something like that. I mean, it got
deep. And that's what's going to happen here because very similar to Deshaun Watson, why are you going to multiple massage parlors and getting thrown out of multiple massage parlors if there's not a pattern of behavior that is not only unbecoming but disgusting?
Look, professional athletes get more massages than normal people do. That is true.
100%.
Professional athletes also have massage therapists that they can go through the organization to line up and make sure that they get their massages.
The Blazers have multiple massage therapists that travel with the team.
Now, you also have a situation where he has been alleged to be kicked out of multiple massage parlors in Baltimore. None of that is normal.
No.
None of it is normal.
I'm neither a professional athlete nor in any kind of shape. I go and get multiple massages every single week. And guess what, Dusty? I go to the same place every single time.
Well, that's because you're not getting kicked out of those places. Danny?
I mean, it's just...
I mean, they probably should for other reasons, but they don't.
And look, but here's the thing, though.
You're not creepy.
Not only that, I see like five different massage specialists every month.
Yeah.
In the same building. They all know me.
Yep.
And it's not a thing. It's not a problem.
This is going to get...
Let me tell you, I'm not a kicker getting my leg worked on, but I'm a guy who's had multiple knee surgeries and multiple hip surgeries, and they're working a lot of the same areas that they are on a kicker, and I'm not having the same issues that he is.
Well, he is a creep.
Yes.
And the thing about this with Justin Tucker is that... And people want the same reaction. They want the same vitriol that Deshaun Watson got.
It's building towards it, but I don't think it's going to get there. Because Deshaun Watson was not likable to begin with.
Well, he's a kicker, and that's a less discussed position, and that doesn't make what Justin Tucker did any less severe by any stretch of the imagination. But the reality of it is that the collective fans aren't going to be as outraged because he's a kicker and not
the quarterback. It means to make a crossover.
It doesn't
the
make
NBA.
It better.
No. I mean,
creep's a creep.
This is a significantly worse crime. You know, the one-time, one-game appearance Chance Comanche, you know, in federal prison.
He was involved in a murder.
Literal murder, who did appear for the Portland Trailblazers in one game. He was on a part of the remix as well and then played for the Sacramento Kings and their G League team. But, you know, nobody talks about it because he's a guy of just no consequence to the organization, to the sport, to anything else. But when you have a higher standing as a I don't want to put him on a pedestal. Deshaun Watson was a very good quarterback, too, before everything happened. Well, everything that he did.
Yeah, and with as it pertains to Justin Tucker, I look at it and... through the Deshaun Watson thing, everybody knows where I stand, where you stand in these actions, the way that these men have handled their stature in the community to take advantage of or try to take advantage of massage therapists like they're his own personal toys.
Yes.
It's disgusting.
100%.
It's gross. We also need to get a lot more of the information before we... completely cancel somebody, but we can all say the allegations against him are piling up. When there's this many people that are alleging that you've done something and they don't know each other, have zero connection to each other, but are like, wait a minute.
They're not in the group chat with each
Guess
other. Like, let's go get some money from this guy.
Starting to build a case against you, man, and it's all gross, disgusting, and the NFL rightfully should be investigating it, and they are now.
All right, coming up next year on Danny and Dusty, we'll have a little NFL wraparound, some news, well, more bad news for the Dallas Cowboys, and a nice little come up for a local guy here coming up next. But first, here's the Big Kahuna with SportsCenter Update.
That's that Hawaiian burger joint.
Welcome back in, Danny and Dusty. Now is your chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to the 67th Annual Portland Metro RV Dealers Show, March 6th through the 9th at the Portland Expo Center, and we've got your chance to win. Right now, text in RV, the letters RV, to 503-864-6326 now, and for your chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to the 67th Annual Portland Metro RV Dealers Show, March 6th through the 9th. Have fun.
Yeah, let's go.
And head to 1080thefan.com for complete contest details.
Dude, they got sweet RVs there. We're here at the Oregon International Auto and Motorcycle Show. Sweet cars. And there's a lot of people that have been filtering in. It's getting more and more full. This is awesome.
Yeah, I would imagine as the day goes on and everyone gets off work on a Friday afternoon, you're probably going to see some folks starting to pile in here.
Our bartender directly in front of us, though, he's been the most busy man here. Like,
yes.
He's had a line
steady,
at times.
Steady flow of individuals coming through.
Well, yeah, because when, you know, I said, you got a really good selection going on here. He's like, well, yeah. I brought the good stuff out.
Yeah.
He's got some Buffalo Trace up there, and everybody is – that started full.
That bottle was full when we started the show. It is halfway down already.
People are like, oh, hey, let's get reckless with this, huh? Let's go.
Yeah, no, I saw that bottle of Buffalo Trace, and I went, that looks pretty nice. Speaking of pretty nice, Elijah Molden got himself a nice little contract.
He did. That's a good little payday for Elijah Molden. The Westland product who his dad went to Oregon. He went to UW. His brother is one of the most highly touted recruits to ever come through the state of Oregon. And Josiah signed a 3-year, $18.5 million deal with the Chargers to stay in L.A. And look, this is a good deal for both sides here because there is injury concerns with Elijah that goes back to his college days. And you know, I think 2 years ago he only played in 2 games. But you look at he played in 15 last year. I think he played in 15 the year before. He is showing the versatility that of a guy that he projects to be a key cog to a really damn good team.
Mm-hmm.
So it is team friendly in the fact that it's 18.5 and $13.5 million is guaranteed though. So he is getting a large chunk of that in guaranteed money. If he stays healthy, he's opening himself up on a 3-year deal to get a massive payday. The versatility of Elijah Molden, he was a lockdown corner in college. You can put him in the nickel. You can put him at safety. You do not worry about him in matchup situations, whether it's a wide receiver, a slot, a shifty slot, or a tight end. He can cover anybody on the field, and he is smart as all get out. He has the pedigree, obviously, with his dad playing in the NFL for as long as he had with the success that he did. I think this is a great deal for both sides. I think Elijah Molden probably could have gotten more, and he probably could have gotten more if he would have gone to test the waters and go somewhere else. But
if you are where you want to be and you're in a spot that's going to showcase you and you've got a good relationship, you've got a head coach that you want to play for, like
in your defense,
and things line up for
your defense was starting to turn a corner last year, and they got a good thing rolling there. So I hope for the best for Elijah. I think it's a really good deal for both sides, and hopefully he can carve his role out even further in the NFL. He's 26 years old, so 3 years, he'll be 29, and you can get another payday after that. So good on the Westland product.
On the other side of the NFL news and notes is that very likely first ballot Hall of Fame offensive lineman for the Dallas Cowboys, Zach Martin, has decided to hang it up.
Yep.
It is not a good bit of news for the Dallas Cowboys after playing 11 years in the 9-time Pro Bowler. Is going to hang it up.
One of the most dominant offensive linemen in his era. Mm-hmm.
I think you can make the argument that over the past 15 years, it's him and Joe Thomas.
At guard, he was outstanding, and he was so reliable for them. Now you have big holes moving forward. Mm-hmm. The stat that came out yesterday, 9 Pro Bowls, 7 holding calls in his career.
And that's insane to have 7 holding calls in 11 seasons.
Well, how about in 11 seasons, only 21 penalties.
Total.
Total. And that's like the marker of like a Hall of Fame lineman. And if you look at it, his first 2 years, he had 12 penalties called against him.
So he had more than half his penalties called in his first 2 years when he was getting used to the NFL.
9 years where he had, nine penalties?
A penalty a year.
Yeah. He had 2 in 2016, 1 in 2018, 2 in 2019, 0 in 2020, 2 in 21, 1 in 22, 1 in 23, 0 penalties called against him. And
how many snaps does an offensive lineman get roughly in a season now? Is it about 700?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like, and we were doing this with Max Unger when we had Unger on the pod. Mm-hmm. He played 10 years in the NFL, mm-hmm. 17 penalties.
The other like, one here, specifically for those interior linemen.
It's crazy to think about. And when Cole, the program podcast co-host, when he brought that up in our interview, he was like, you only had one chop block called against you, and he knew exactly when it was. He's like, how in the world did you only get one chop? You chop block me all the time in practice in college. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I vividly remember it, and it later got rescinded because it wasn't a legal chop block. If you have a Hall of Fame offensive lineman,
they're just different.
You can just go to NFLpenalties.com, and that will tell your story of your career, of how well you were played your position and how well you were respected and regarded by officials as well.
The other one that kind of pops to me is when I think of Joe Thomas. When his career ended, the Browns put out like the Joe Thomas career numbers rundown.
Yeah.
He allowed 30 sacks over his career as a premier left tackle in the NFL in the pass rush era. 6,680 pass block snaps.
Crazy.
30 sacks allowed. That is a sack rate of .004.
Yep.
Like, these guys are just different. And yep. You just see it over and over and over again. It's one of those things where, you know, the hits just keep on coming for the Cowboys, whether it's the coaching hire, whether it's the giving Dak Prescott the contract extension that nobody thought he would or should get.
Yep.
It's just, this thing is careening off a cliff, and they already had so many things to address going into the season. Having to now figure out how to replace your all-world guard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what do you do if you're the Cowboys right now? Like, if you're looking at the draft, like,
Danny, how you do the same thing you've been doing, which is ignoring your glaring holes.
I mean, you're not wrong. It is an option on the board. There are no wrong answers.
We cannot take this organization seriously until they take themselves seriously.
Oh, man. I don't feel bad for the Cowboys, but I do kind of feel bad for them because they are the epitome of the where there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah.
And you just looked at the thing that I was trying to, I couldn't remember who it was that also had the same issue, the same thing with penalties.
It's Walter Jones had 9 holding penalties in a 13-year career.
Yeah. I mean, that is such an absurd, like, again, the Hall of Famers are just different.
Yep. 5,000 passes when he was on the field, they attempted. Holy smokes.
5,000.
And 23 sacks allowed. 5,500 passes, 23 sacks allowed.
I mean, my goodness.
That's crazy.
5,000? 13 sacks? I mean...
23 sacks.
Oh, sorry, 13 yeah.
That's
years.
A sack allowed every 239 pass attempts.
So if you're Russell Wilson twice a year.
Yeah, well, I don't think he was the left tackle. I think he was inducted in 2014, so
Hasselbeck. It was Hasselbeck, yeah.
Yeah.
God, why did I think there was a further crossover with Russ there? I thought he was like 2015, 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyways, that's your talking numbers as it pertains to
all-world
offensive linemen and just how good they are. When we come back, we'll wrap up today's show. We'll revisit today's poll as we have gotten the updates on the ratings coming out of the Four Nations Cup. Will you be watching more hockey after the hub and bub, as it were, of the Four Nations Cup? Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. The numbers are in from the Four Nations final last night between the U.S. and Canada.
3-2 Oh, those ones?
The ratings are in.
Okay.
9.3 million people tuned in on ESPN is the most watched NHL-related or even hockey game on the network's history.
That's awesome. That's great.
Over 16
hockey.
Million total between Canada and the U.S.
And obviously the accessibility of ESPN, it's everywhere, and most people have them. But this was not on network here in the United States, too, which that does bolster it. If it was on ABC, that number would probably be even higher than the 9.3. But that's still a massive number. I saw that there's a rolling average throughout the game of 16.2 million if you add Canada and the United States combined. That's a big number.
That's a massive
number. To average
number.
Throughout the entirety of a three-period game.
Exhibition
and
game.
Then overtime. It was pretty awesome. Yeah. And the goal is to grow awareness of hockey.
The
and
branding.
Try to grow the game. I think they knocked it out of the park with that. And now it is, all right, what are you going to do with it? And are more people going to watch?
Poll up now on at Danny and Dusty on Twitter. Will you watch more hockey after watching or being at least aware of the Four Nations Cup and the final last night? The poll right now, yes at 32%, no at 68%. That's actually better than I thought it would be because hockey is it is a niche sport.
Yep.
unless you were a puckhead. But the fact that I think it is showing that growth opportunity that it is going to have that burgeoning, like the biggest problem I think with hockey as far as getting into it, you want people to be able to play it.
Yeah.
It probably has the highest barrier to entry of sports in North America. You got to know how to skate. You got to buy skates. You got to buy a stick.
The most expensive sport. Uh-huh. $1,500 skates is what Sukanik is saying.
Yeah.
And look, this is the big problem that they're even talking about this up in Canada, where it's their national sport, is that they're saying we're alienating as Canada's, like Toronto, Montreal, Ottawa, Vancouver are booming in population.
Your metropolitan areas.
You now have a wealth disparity where mm-hmm. they're saying we're alienating the growth of this game because of how expensive it is. Mm-hmm. If you want to talk about a sport that it's not nearly as expensive as hockey is, but it's expensive here in the States. You played lacrosse.
Lacrosse is
a very expensive
$150
sport.
Helmet, $200 stick. I mean, you start getting into the $200 pair of gloves. It piles up real
but
quick, man.
This is the beauty of what lacrosse is doing, that they're growing as a sport because, you know, my son is right now in the middle of going to like a lacrosse camp mm-hmm. through Liberty High School.
Yeah.
The kid, it's a free camp. Kids show up, they've got a pile of sticks, they got a pile of helmets, and they're like, we're going to find a helmet that fits you, we're going to find stick. They got chest protectors mm-hmm. for the kids, too. And it's like, that's that passion that you were talking about, yep. where there's people that are dedicated and lifers of the game and growing the game.
Lacrosse is very similar to hockey in that vein.
Lacrosse is like that, where they're trying to get more kids in, knowing the financial investment that mm-hmm. families are going to have to make it if you want your kid to play or your kid wants to play lacrosse. They're trying to offset those. Hockey's got to do the same thing.
Yes.
Right?
Interesting thing, you said this, and it's a common thought that hockey is the national sport of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Lacrosse is actually their legal national sport.
National sport. Started up there, Canadians.
It is. Coming full circle, it was a way that was used to solve wars.
Oh, hey, look at that. Mm-hmm. Lacrosse.
They may or may not have played with heads.
I don't know how you throw that. I thought that was Pocatoke. I thought that was the Aztecs.
It was.
That
I was tiny
down there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that'd be really hard. You'd have to have a big lacrosse stick to throw
like a butterfly
net
at that point. But my dad used to give me crap when I was a kid when I started playing lacrosse. He's like, what are you out there catching butterflies?
Look, it was awesome, though, to see so many people engaged and
tuned in for
hockey
man.
It was cool. They knocked it out of the park, and now it looks like it will be something that is not every year. Next year they won't have it because they have the Olympics.
It makes you yearn for it.
Yeah, they're gonna have it. It's an Olympic year next year. I think the plan for the Four Nations, from what I've heard, is that they'll have the Olympic year and then they'll go to a traditional All-Star game, and then that 2-year buffer between the Olympics and where there's nothing,
mm-hmm.
start essentially a World Cup of hockey.
Perfect.
With NHL
Love
players
it.
And have that be the thing. It'd be awesome. It'd be awesome. All right, thanks for everybody for coming out to the Oregon International Auto and Motorcycle Show out here at the Convention Center. Isaac and Suk are going to be out here. We are in Exhibit Hall E, right in front of the bar in the Pinewood Derby races everything that are going on. Come on down, hang out, have a great time. Again, Family Day is on Sunday, where kids under 15 get in free with a paid adult ticket. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll be back Monday from noon to 3. Up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's Prime Time with Isaac Souk right here on The Fan.
Bye.